everyone. Thank you. How are we doing? Anyone need me to throw some tissues at you? Anyone feeling a bit emotional? I am. Here you go. Oh. He nodded. So, as Sue has already said, we are going to finish off our Freedom in Course series this week. Can you believe how fast the 10 weeks have gone? I think we've flown through that. Who's enjoyed it? Yeah. Who's been challenged by it? Yeah. You know, we've come to the part of the journey where we ask, what's next? You know, it's tempting that we can see a course like a tick box. I've learned all this, I've done it, I'll leave it here and I'll move on to the next thing. And it's also tempting to think that finishing a course means that we've arrived. We are the end product. Well, anyone that's done their driving test will know that passing the driving test is only the real beginning, isn't it? You've got the journeys ahead to go on. And we've completed some sessions, answered questions, perhaps had some really difficult conversations, and learned some new things. But following Jesus has never been and will never be about completing a course. It's a beginning or a continuation of a lifelong journey of becoming more like him. So Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1:5, "The purpose of my instruction is that all believers will be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith." And that verse, it can remind us that walking with Jesus is not just about information. It's about transformation. The goal isn't that we simply can recite Bible verses off the top of the head, although that's good. It isn't to win theological arguments. It isn't even to behave better. The goal is to love and love like Christ. A love that flows from a heart that God is continually making pure. A conscience that is sensitive to the Holy Spirit, God's voice. A faith that is genuine, not something we perform, but something we live out and we demonstrate. And everything that we go through as a community and a church, and the stuff that we've explored, it only really matters if it leads us there. In closer discipleship with Christ. You know, we've spoken about some of the battles that we face. One of the biggest battles for each of us is the battle of our minds. Every day we're surrounded by messages telling us where our worth comes from. Success, popularity, appearance, money, achievement, comfort, influence. The world constantly tells us that if we just become a little more successful, a little more admired, a bit more comfortable, then we'll be fully satisfied. Any other musical people in the room might sing, "You'll Never Be Satisfied" by Hamilton. You know, that is it. You'll never be satisfied by the things of the world. You know, the Bible teaches us what we will be satisfied by. And 2 Peter 1:3-8, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. By God's power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patience endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's quite a big passage there, so let's unpack this together. Verse 3, God, creator of the entire universe, creator of you and me, by his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And by godliness, that summarizes the behavior expected of those who know God. And we have this power through knowledge. Knowledge of who God is, which we can learn through the Bible, through prayer, and through being in community with God's people. We can know this knowledge through what Jesus did on the cross for each of us, and through our personal relationship with him. These precious promises are based upon his glory and virtue, meaning that we can fully rely on them because these are things that God never compromises. We have such a generous and loving God, and he wants to share his divine nature with us as his adopted sons and daughters. And this is such a beautiful display of God's love for us. He wants to share himself with us. Can you, like, acknowledge that? The creator of the universe wants to share that with you. Think about all the other bosses and CEOs and, like, important people. Even, like, the king at the minute. He doesn't know we exist, does he? He doesn't think about us in the same way that God does. In the second half of this verse, these are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. God is above all corruption of this world. And followers of God, those who share in his divine nature, should also turn and choose not to indulge in the ungodly desires of this world. And when we give our lives to Christ, when we become sons and daughters, we share in his divine nature. You know, growth doesn't just happen. We don't become a Christian, go to bed and wake up being the most wonderful, perfect disciple. You know, it'll be amazing, but it's not like that. It's a journey. And our journey begins with faith. And then we have a choice. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Do you get supplemented by vitamins and stuff without taking them? You've got to take them. So supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patience endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The choice is ours. Are we going to keep living, or are we going to start living by giving our all to Christ? Because if we do, we will grow. We'll be well-rounded Christians, a life that God longs for each of us to have. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How refreshing that Peter doesn't tell us as believers to become richer, smarter, or more influential. He tells us to grow in goodness, in our knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, kindness, and love. God's greatest purpose for our lives is not like a school report on what we accomplish. He isn't going, A star, they've peaked in their career. B plus, they're growing in their ministry. A, their influence is increasing. God's not about that. You know, his goal for each of us is to spend time with him and for us to become more like Jesus. And many of us, as we've been journeying through this course, have discovered that there have been things, there have been lies that we've believed for years. Sometimes even stuff we haven't realised. Some lies have been with us since childhood. Others come up during painful experiences. Some have simply come from the environment around us, being absorbed from culture. You know, the enemy doesn't always tempt us through dramatic evil. Often he simply persuades us to believe something that isn't true. But Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians that the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. One of Satan's greatest strategies has always been deception. There's so many examples of that in Scripture. That's why renewing our mind is so important. As disciples of Jesus, we shouldn't just be people who simply ask, "What do I feel?" and then react on our emotions, but we need to align it with what has God said. What has God said to you personally? What has God said in Scripture? Truth sets people free. Not positive thinking, not self-confidence, not trying harder. We're talking about truth. And once we discover the truth, we have a choice then to act on it. Will we continue living a life believing the old lies and the old ways, or will we trust what God has said about us? Something else we've reflected on is unity. Jesus prayed that his followers would be one. Why? Because unity is powerful. Psalm 133 tells us that where God's people dwell together in unity, God commands his blessing. So you might recognise a few faces up there. What a blessing this has started to be as we've come together as one. It's good, we're on a journey, aren't we, of unity. Yet the enemy loves division, because divided Christians become distracted Christians. We can spend our energy fighting each other instead of reaching those who don't yet know Christ. Imagine what would happen if churches became known less for arguments and more for love. Imagine if Christians were recognised not by what they criticised, but by the way they served one another. The harvest is plentiful. It has been plentiful. And perhaps one of the greatest barriers that we've faced isn't God's willingness to save people, it's our unwillingness to love people well. You know, that doesn't mean we ignore truth, but real unity is built on truth and love together. And as we head into the summer months, our schedules can often change. Anyone going on holiday?
Yes.
Over the summer? Yeah. You know, our schedules change. School stops. Childcare, grandparents kick into a whole new level. Or aunties and uncles, doesn't it? Your life changes, the pattern changes, the rhythm changes. Sometimes it means also going at a slower pace. Sometimes I think we all need a slower pace. It doesn't always happen over the summer months, though, does it? But we can get comfortable. And we can, even without, like, consciously realising, we might not be scheduling as much time with Jesus as our routines go out the window. But it's really important that we consider the danger of becoming lukewarm. It's interesting how we can be so quick to notice other people's faults when they're happening, whilst becoming so blind to our own. And when our relationship with Jesus begins to cool, something inside subtly changes. We stop letting the Holy Spirit into our hearts and search it. Instead, we become experts at evaluating everyone else. But the closer we grow to Jesus, the more aware we are of our own need for grace. So sunflowers, they're my favourite flower. Anyone else like them? I love them. What God wants us to be is like sunflowers. Sunflowers grow up towards the light. And although their feet might be planted and still, their face turns to where the sun is shining. That's cool, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever seen a time lapse of a sunflower in the sun, but look it up. We need to be like sunflowers, facing the source, basking in the light of God, following in his ways, not jumping when things are scary, but staying rooted, remaining in him and following where he's leading. And when we do that, the more we spend time with Jesus, the more gracious we get towards other people. The nicer we get towards other people, isn't it? Pride points fingers, but humility washes feet. Let us not slow down in our spiritual growth through July and August. You know, we've got a bit of momentum going. We're meeting regularly. We're doing this course together. But let us not stop there. Just because it's the summer and people's diaries go different doesn't mean you can't invite someone around your house for dinner. Doesn't mean you can't invite someone to church over the summer. Like, use this opportunity. We also have the opportunity to carve out time first. As we sit with our diaries and we think about all the things we've got to do, let's prioritise what we've really got to do and spend time with Christ first, ensuring that we get away with God first above any other holiday. It's a challenge, isn't it? But if we can put these rhythms and routines in now, how much better will the future seasons be? As the course finishes, perhaps the most important question isn't what have I learned, it's what will I do differently? It's good that you learn something, but it doesn't mean you put it into practice, does it? Everyone's had to sit maths exams. If you try getting me to answer some maths questions now, I'm not your girl. We need to put these things into practice. What will I do differently? What rhythms and patterns can you embed in your life now that will help you have lifelong transformation in Christ? Instead of comparing how things look in your life to other people's, how you speak, how you behave, how they're spending their day to day, grow into the person that God's made you to be. That's who he wants you to be. There's only one you. There's only one mixture of your gifts, your experiences, your story, your opportunities. You know, God doesn't want everyone to be a Moses or an Esther or a Paul. He wants you to be you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. He is looking for faithful disciples who will say yes to him today. Faithfulness is far more important than fame. Be faithful in what God has given you, what he's asked you to do. Honour God with what you have and be led by what he is asking. But remember that God's ultimate goal isn't what you do, it's who you become. So we've all got a choice. What's next? You know, for some of us, we've unpacked some really heavy stuff and your gut instinct might be shovel that back in the bag and leave that for another day. Sometimes there is some wisdom in that. Maybe not with everything, but I was actually talking to someone this morning and they were saying that they were having a clear out. And the things with clear outs is the worst way to do it is get everything out of all the cupboards and all the drawers at the same time. You've got to take it box by box, shelf by shelf, room by room. And actually, there are some things that we might need to deal with first rather than getting everything out at the same time. You know, we've got a choice to make. God, what do you need me to prioritise now? Where do you want to work with me? Where do you want to journey? So what is next? Well, we need to keep renewing our minds. We need to keep replacing lies with the truth. We need to keep walking with Jesus daily. Keep choosing unity over division. Even when it's tricky, unity over division. We need to keep serving others. Keep investing your life in things that have eternal value. Keep becoming more like Christ. And as we continue to walk with Jesus, Day by day, he's faithful to finish the work that he has begun in us. May we keep trusting him. May we keep growing, being those sunflowers. May we keep becoming more like Jesus. Amen.